So Queen Kunti's prayers are very important. Prabhupada, we have a book, The Prayers of Queen Kunti, that's because Prabhupada gives so many lectures. I was in Los Angeles a few winters when Prabhupada would come, and at least once and maybe twice. And we were in the, somewhere in the Bhagavatam, and he went back to The Prayers of Queen Kunti. Lectured on those. And then that's why they made that book, including the lectures Prabhupada gave. There were so many. Same thing with Kapila, because he lectured. He chose, no matter where the temple was at the time, because in temples they progressively read, you know, that he went back to The Prayers of Queen Kunti. So it's very significant also that he doesn't consider women less intelligent, devotee women. Well, the first time Prabhupada told that about the 32-ounce brain, he said he learned this in college. He didn't say it was a Vedic fact. He mentioned the professor and everything, that when they measured the brains, they found that the biggest brain of a man was 64 ounces and the biggest brain of a woman was 32 ounces. And then he laughed. He said, "You see, ladies, Krishna has made you less intelligent." And the girls all laughed. They didn't mind when he said it. But later it became a big issue. But he never said this. And sometimes he said that my disciple, ladies, they're not less intelligent. Many, many things to be considered. And that particular research was done. You know how they do research? It's like a survey. Say you want to survey what politician somebody likes, you know, so they survey 1,000 people. Say 400 people said they like somebody. So then they say out of 600, 400 said this. But that's also true. So they did this research was specifically to prove that black people and women were less intelligent. So they took the statistics that fit. They think of what they want first, and then they take out the statistics that agree with that. And all these surveys, everything, are completely meaningless. Like in America before the election, they constantly have surveys. And it's like a horse race or something, you know. So-and-so is ahead by 1 inch. No, now the other one just passed him. No, he's falling back. Oh, it looks like he's going to... Oh, now he's coming up again. And that way it keeps everybody constantly reading the newspaper and getting all the advertisements. If they just said that so-and-so's winning by a mile, then people go home, you know. If there's a football game and the score is like some team is 20 points ahead and there's 20 minutes left, they just go home. It's no fun anymore. They have to keep it close, you know. It's all just a big scam. So Queen Kunti, there's a leads up to her actual prayers, you know, about what the Pandavas had been through and, you know, how Duryodhana had taken away the kingdom. And then Krishna did, Yudhisthira conducted 3 Ashwamedha yajnas. And then he became very great, like Indra. Indra had done 100 yajnas. So when Krishna was invited to Pandavas there, when he was going to leave, and the brahmanas were there, and Vasudeva, and then he was sitting on the chariot, and Uttara came running, praying, "Protect me," because the Brahmastra was coming. So she says, "Let it burn me, but please protect the embryo in the womb that was Parikshit." So she's not caring for her own life, but for the child. So Krishna heard it, and they knew that Ashwatthama had done this the Pandavas took up their weapons, that Krishna saw that it was dangerous for his devotees. They took up the Sudarshan disc, and he covered the NVO by his personal energy. So it was neutralized. The Brahmastra weapon was neutralized by Krishna. And then it says, don't think that this is wonderful, especially Krishna is so great, it's not really a big thing. So Kunti then addressed Krishna. So Kunti starts praying. And these are very wonderful prayers, and they're also very simple. Like, you read prayers to Lord Brahma or something, they're very long and grammatically, you know, big Sanskrit words and everything. These are like Bhagavad Gita, they're very simple slokas. Namasye Purusham Tvajam Ishwaram Prakrite Param Alaksham Sarvabhutanam Antar Bahiravashtitam. So she's glorifying Krishna. You're the original personality and are unaffected by the qualities of the material world. You are existing both within and without of everything, and you are invisible to everyone. So she knew everything about Krishna, even though she was his aunt. You know, aunt. How do you say in Katha? The auntie, anyway. So she's understanding what is Krishna and glorifying him. That we cannot see. Maya javanena kachanam agyan oksajam avyayam alakshise mudadusha natto nat yadaro yata. Being beyond the range of limited sense perception, you are the eternally irreproachable factor covered by the curtain of deluding energy. You are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. Even Lord Chaitanya, when they did the drama at Chandrasekhar's house, he played the Lakshmi. Lord Chaitanya was playing the role of Lakshmi. And before the drama started, he said, now we'll do this drama, but only those who are completely controlled senses can watch it. So Advaitacharya and all of the devotees said, well, then I can't come, because my senses are not controlled. So then Lord Chaitanya said, oh, I'll make a special benediction. Yeah. I'll make a special benediction that for tonight will be pure yogis. So he did the drama, but even Sachimata was wondering who is playing Lakshmi. And that's one of the things Krishna learned in school, is disguise. You can't recognize. So when an actor is dressed up, and sometimes even his own children won't recognize him. And like sometimes we have a drama and the children know that, but they think this is Ravana. They have no idea that who it is. So like that, Krishna is not recognized. In all his different incarnations and everything, he's taking all these different forms. But they're all Krishna. So the demoniac, they're always there, and they will never accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Kamsa knew Krishna. He witnessed his powers over and over again, but he still couldn't believe in God. Tata paramahamsana muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidanardam katam pasyema hi sthitya. You descend to propagate the transcendental science of devotional service into the hearts of the advanced transcendentalists and mental speculators. were purified by being able to discriminate between matter and spirit. How then can we women know you perfectly? So there she's saying that he's coming for the Sankirtan. You descend to propagate the transcendental science of devotional service into the hearts of the... So of course Lord Chaitanya did that even more, but that's what the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, one of his most important leelas is the Bhagavad Gita. Many people think that leelas is only the rasa leela, but the Bhagavad Gita is also. Some question, how can the deity in Delhi be called Krishna Parthasarathi, Radha Parthasarathi? Because Parthasarathi, they think different than Krishna. But it's the same Krishna that's driving the chariot of Arjuna. So that's a question that people criticize Prabhupada in. How can you call the deity in Los Angeles Rukmini Dwarkadini? And he's playing his flute. But sometimes Krishna and Dwarka, like we read in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he's Krishna as a king, but when that Gopakumar came there, he had such a strong desire, you know, his intense desire was the wish of Madan Gopal, so sometimes Krishna would appear to him with a flute and as a cover. He even took his flute and played it. Mm-hmm. But normally he never played the flute in Dwarka, but sometimes he would have that mood and he would in a dreaming state. So Prabhupada had a much higher vision than all these other people can understand. They separate. The Krishna is always Krishna. It says also that when Krishna appears, all the Vishnu, they all join, they all enter into his body, and then they're gone from their planet. And the residents of that Vaikuntha planet think that it's their Lord that's appearing as Krishna, taking the form of Krishna. They don't understand that they all just enter into the body because they all come from the body of Krishna. I'm trying to find it. I heard it in the recitation and I haven't found it yet in the writing. It's sometimes hard to pick things out. So Krishna is beyond the thinking power of anyone, is achincha, inconceivable. And the more we learn about Krishna, the more we understand that we cannot understand Krishna. Sometimes fools tell you, I know everything, I know Krishna, I know everything. But Brahma said, someone can say that, let them say it. But for me, I don't know anything. This verse is quite famous and very easy. You know this one? Can repeat Krishnaya Vasudevaya,
Krishnaya Vasudevaya,
Devaki Nandanaya cha,
Devaki Nandanaya cha,
Nanda Gopa Kumaraya, Govindaya Namo Namaha,
Govindaya Namo Namaha.
That one's quite easy, right? I offer my obeisance to the Lord, who is the son of Vasudeva, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda, and the other cow, and enlivener of the cows. And senses, Govinda. Go means cow. So all these things she knew. She knew Krishna is the son of Devaki and the son of Nanda. All these things, and she covers everything. And Govinda is a very important name of Krishna. Govinda, Gopal, cowherd boy. Those are primary names. That's really what the original Krishna. Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. And Krishna is so much pleased when cows are pleased. So I just read your magazine there, that Goshuma. I read that before. Sushma, yeah. And it's very important. So they're doing a lot. We're picking up Maniskan a little bit on these things. You know, all the medicine. But there's a lot of interesting facts in there that clear things up. And it explains a little more detail. Prabhupada said how much the British, you know, devastated India. So, and the British even knew there's even, you know, writings where one, I think it was Lord Mountbatten, he went all over and he said, I didn't see any poverty, I didn't see, you know, and the only way we're going to control them is, you know, to kill all the cows. The cow is so important. So they opened slaughterhouses and they started propagating buffalo milk. Prabhupada said that, like, the British started keeping buffalo in front of their house. They didn't drink buffalo milk, though. But they propagated it. It's so much better economically to a farmer. And you see now, especially in Vrindavan, as far as I haven't been everywhere in India, but when we go on the Parikrama, it's very hard. You don't find cows there. And there, you'll find a goshala. You know, there are that keep for business for milk. And one had like 600 cows and no boys. And the devotee asked, what do you do? So we sell them. And they know where they're going.
But, you know, in Vrindavan,
Yeah. But in the villages, in every house, you just see a bunch of buffaloes. Sometimes one cow, no bullock open field, all tractors. Because they propagate, the tractor works 10 times faster, which is true, but also ruins the land, pollutes everything, breaks down, and then they can't afford to fix it. Yeah. So, but the British started all that. That buffalo milk has more fat. Buffalo milk, you get more milk when you milk a buffalo. But in the long run, you get more from a cow. Because the buffalo doesn't give milk for such a... The buffalo. And it's disappointing. They said like that. Everyone has seen like a calf. You can put a calf in with 1,000 cows and they'll go right to their mother. Right? You can put 20 calves and they all go right to their mother. The buffalo can't find their mother. Mm. The buffalo calf who drinks buffalo milk can't find his mother. He gets kicked by all the other ones and going to the wrong one all the time. And the people that drink buffalo milk also become quite like Bombay. So many people just when they try to get on, like here they have those lines on the subway doors. But in India they don't have that. But everybody just pushing, you know. And in Ayurveda you give buffalo milk if someone can't sleep.
Oh, whoa.
Then you give buffalo milk because it's tamasic. Makes them conk right out. And Srinathji, he's a he said he analyzed it. He said it's poison. He said the British knew that and that's why they wanted the Indians to drink buffalo milk to make them stupid. So they can control them. But now it's been very successful. Now buffalo milk costs more. When I first went to India, we always worried that they mixed the buffalo milk in with the cow's milk because that was cheaper. But now buffalo milk costs more. Nobody wants cows, so that they don't keep cows because the buffalo milk sells for a higher price. Namah Pankaja Nabhaya.
Namah Pankaja Nabhaya.
Namah Pankaja Malane.
Namah Pankaja Malane.
Namah Pankaja Netraya.
Namah Pankaja Netraya.
Namaste Pankajangraye.
Namaste Pankajangraye.
The respectful obeisances, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression, are like a lotus. They're always decorated with garlands of lotus, whose glance is as cool as a lotus and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. So the lotus is considered one of the most beautiful things in the material world. It's also described that it's a very poor comparison to Krishna. But it's just, you have to compare it to the moon or to the lotus, but Krishna's beauty is much more than any of those things. But that's Krishna and lotus. Eyes, lotus face, lotus feet, and the hands are the color of pink lotuses, and so many things lotus. And he wears lotus flower garlands, and it's cooling. So that's just some nice prayers. Also easy one, right? easy language.
I got that.
Buddhists really like lotus, but they don't have Krishna, but they just have the lotus.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Sometimes we read that, you know, something was as fragrant as a lotus.
What?
Sometimes we read that, you know, some things are in the Bhagavadam itself, that they are as fragrant as a lotus, but like, at least the lotuses that I've seen, they don't have any fragrance.
Yeah, I noted that here, but in Bali, the lotus is so...
Oh, they smell?
Yeah. Oh yeah, the natural lotus is so nice.
In Kerala, so many lotuses grow, but they have no smell much.
Yeah, that's because they're growing them with all chemicals. Like all the flowers you buy in the market, they don't have any
smell.
Roses. The roses in Vrindavan,
yeah,
they smell like really good. But they also fall apart really fast.
Yeah, it's quite soft. They're very delicate.
That's the natural.
Yeah.
So the smell comes from the deterioration or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So they breed them. They have no smell, but they don't fall. They last for a long time. They look all right, but no smell. So marigold flowers also, the natural ones, they smell so good, but these you get almost no smell.
In Bali have been.
Oh yeah, real amazing. Because they, I guess they're just growing wild and they just pick them. They smell so nice. But the ones that are grown commercially, then they take out the smell. You know, they know how to breed, you know. So they breed them to last a long time, but then they have no smell. It's a combination. And in America, I heard flowers were mostly given to people in the hospital and stuff. And so they didn't, some people are allergic to the smell, so they clean it up, you know. So that, and then they're just like orchid. Now, I've never, there is an orchid garden here. I heard that the natural orchid also has a really good smell. But the orchids you buy, you can hardly tear them even. They're just like plastic. And 1 or 2 weeks they sit there, they look the same. This is the Kali Yuga. And the vegetables and fruit also. If you buy organic spinach, you have to use it right away. But if you buy the regular, you can leave it sitting out in the heat for a week and it looks the same. So much full of preservatives. So that's the thing. That's why people are confused. Everything is so artificial. Then you buy incense that says lotus, but it's from a chemical that they made some smell. You're the master of the senses. Release your mother, Devaki, from the prison of Kamsa and save me and my children from many dangers. Then Kunti lists off how Krishna saved them, saved Bhima from the poison cake, then the fire where the Duryodhana tried to burn them up in the house, then there were cannibals in the forest, and then from the assembly where they tried to rape Draupadi, and then when they were exiled in the forest, Krishna protected them, and then in the battle of Kurukshetra also. Now you saved us again. From Ashwatthama. Somehow Ashwatthama kept going even after that whole thing, and then Arjuna let him go and he still tried again. He's the original terrorist.
Right?
He was sleeping under a tree and couldn't sleep actually, and then he saw that the owls and crows were sleeping and the owls attacked and killed all the crows because crows can't see at night. And then he thought this is how to get the fun of it. To get them while they're sleeping. He thought it was a message from God to show him how to do it. So he's the original terrorist. Snuck in the night, killed him in his sleep, lit fire to everything. So now terrorists are trying to follow his example. And people worried terrorism just keeps increasing, but the slaughterhouse is the most terrorist thing. And also America, you know, they, if you know, like Israel, for instance, if there's a suicide bomber from Pakistan, might kill 10 or 20, maximum 20 people. And then for 3 or 4 days, Israel with their, you know, their missiles and their Apache helicopters attacks and bombs and kills hundreds of people. But that's not terrorism. That's okay.
Yeah.
And this is Kali Yuga. I was at a devotee's house in Israel and he turned on the news, BBC or something, and it was right after one of those. So first they were interviewing I can't remember which was which, but they had a minister from Pakistan, from Palestine, and a minister from Israel. And both of them were saying, like, well, we haven't done anything wrong, we're just protecting ourselves. And these guys are not keeping to the agreement. What can we do? We have to protect ourselves. And it's oh, yeah, right. Then the next one comes, says the same thing, and again you think, yeah, that's right. They're both so convincing that they're innocent. They're just defending themselves. And it started so long ago, and nobody will forgive. That's why we want to talk about forgiveness, you know. Many things that are burning up everybody, country-wise and individual-wise, is because we're just trying to retaliate for something that happened a million years ago. This verse is a really important one. That's extremely advanced mentality that very few of us would ever pray like this. Vipada santuta shasvat. Can you say it? Vipada santuta shasvat. Tatra tatra jagat guru. Bhagato darshanam yachat.
Bhagato darshanam yachat.
Apunar bhava darshanam.
Apunar bhava darshanam.
So she says, I wish that these calamities would happen again and again so we could see you again and again. For seeing you means we'll no longer see repeated birth and death. So she's actually praying for more trouble because then Krishna comes to help. So generally, we pray to Krishna to relieve ourselves of distress, right? Arto jagyasa or artarti. But she's praying for more trouble. So that's a higher realization. That when trouble is coming, we should think, oh, here's Krishna. You know, he's going to test me. Or, you know, we have to really depend on Krishna. And we see that if something's very, very difficult, we really have no other result than to just pray to Krishna to help. I found that, like, in management. Sometimes the temple is just like, you try everything managerially and, you know, dealing with devotees and nothing works. Finally just pray to the deity like anything, and the next day somehow things become all right. Because that's what Krishna wants. When he makes trouble, he's just trying to give us a chance to really surrender to him. Because if everything is too nice, and like in the heavenly planets, they don't think that I have to surrender to Krishna. Everything is all right. They do some puja, for, you know, but they don't think I have to give up everything. They think God has benedicted me. Many rich people like that. Oh, God has been so kind to me. So I'll go to the temple, give a little donation, and enjoy whatever he's given me. They have to suffer a little bit, usually. This one is also very good. These are very, many, many really important prayers. Janmai Svarya Shuti Shivir.
Janmai Svarya Shuti
Shivir. Edamana Madat Puma.
Edamana Madat Puma.
Naivarhat Yavidatum Boy.
Naivarhat Yavidatum Boy.
Tvama Kinchana Gochara.
Tvama Kinchana Gochara.
So the four opulences, those who are busy, enamored by their janma, by, you know, thinking, and everyone's thinking, my birth is very great, you know, my country is better, my state is better, my family is better, everybody is better, right? I remember I was so bewildered when I started to think as a child, Because my mother, she would tell me, you know, it was a great family, but then she'd tell me about her cousin so-and-so who was an alcoholic, and father who ran away, and all this. And I was thinking, what's so great about this? Couldn't figure it out, you know. Just down the list, like so many. They had some kind of good qualities or talents or something, but everybody's thinking like that, you know, your birth is great, your language is the best, you know, everybody's bewildered. I love, my India is great. There's stickers, right? Somebody ought to make one, my India is not so great. There's different Indias, and it depends on how you look at it, but God save America. God bless America. After the 9/11, everywhere in America was big signs, God bless America. What about the rest of the world? You know, that's why they're getting attacked, because all they care about is themselves. You know? And even that Gauravani, you know, the singer, that he was trying to be a rock singer at that time. And he had a song, God bless America, what about everyone else? Every big signs, you know, flags, and people were hanging flags as big as this wall, you know, from their house. And it was a huge business selling American flags, and pins and buttons and hats, and, you know, America's great. You know, we're going to smash these guys.
In God we trust.
So Janma, Aishwarya, your wealth. You know, people with wealth are bewildered. I'm great. Even devotees sometimes. Well, like this one devotee and has so much money, and he's naturally thinking, well, I'm the best. Krishna is blessing me. People even ask, why are these people having what seems like so much success? They have so much money. That's not the measure of spiritual success. Yudhisthira got lost everything. And Krishna told him, when I bless someone, I take away everything. Prahlad, when Narada was saying, you must get the most mercy, he said, no, he made me a king. How is that mercy? You know, when Krishna blesses someone, he takes away everything, but he made me a king. That's not, you know, then it's a big headache. And it's bewildering to have all this opulence and power. So Janma, Aishwarya, Shruti, education, you know, so-and-so and so-so, just so many degrees, and where they got the degree is everything's on their card. And then you have to look and, oh, you know, he's more than me. It's on the door, you know, so many degrees. John Maitreya Shuti, Shibir, beauty. So beautiful people are also bewildered because they get honored by just because they're beautiful body. They don't care about the beautiful person, but the beautiful body. And now it's such a huge business that people try to either make their body beautiful or keep it beautiful. I saw a book, which I didn't read, but it said Memories of a Plastic Surgeon or something. And the guy was a surgeon for the very rich people. And he said, you can't believe what they go through trying to stay looking young and beautiful. And they put, you know, every day so much cosmetic and so many things, and wigs, like you said, wigs, real hair wigs are so expensive. You know, it's good for the Tirupati temple. And I think that's $30 million a year,
yeah.
Selling hair. So you were self-satisfied. Now the next verse says, Namo Kinshan, and Krishna is the property of the materially impoverished. We have nothing to do with, so that's the next verse after, you know, those who are bewildered by this, John Maheshwarya, Shuti, Shibir, they cannot chant the holy name feelingly. They can't really surrender to Krishna. They may do some puja, but they can't feelingly, because they're thinking, I got everything, I don't need anything, you know. And you are self-satisfied, and you are the gentle and master of the monas. So, the property of the materially impoverished. But that doesn't mean you have to, you know, be on the street We don't have those people here anymore. Every other city has, you know, homeless people laying on the street begging, you know, just holding out a cup or something. And but you don't have to be like that, but you have to realize that nothing is valuable in the material world. If you have Janma and Aishwarya and Shruti and Sri Virabhadra, it just really belongs to Krishna, not mine. Temporary, you know, borrowed plumes. People borrow the feathers from the bird and decorate themselves very nicely, but it's not theirs. So when you have nothing to possess, it can be renounced, meaning that we know everything belongs to Krishna and we use everything for Krishna. So in the Yudhisthira was more opulent after he got the kingdom again than even the demigods, but he didn't, his life was totally renounced. He slept on the cow barn and ate barley from the cow dung or something. He drank cow urine and, you know, didn't eat until after 60,000 brahmins had been fed, and he was just promoting cow protection. So Krishna is the property of the devotee, and the devotees are the property of Krishna. So when one is really feeling like that, then he can chant feelingly that all this material, whatever I have, is useless. It's not going to last. The body may be very beautiful, but it's not going to last. It's going to end up in the funeral pyre. Bhaktivinoda has one song that says they should chant now, because when they put the fire, you're not going to be able to chant that. It's too late. And they start the fire in the mouth, right? So then, I consider your lordship to be eternal time, the supreme controller without beginning and end, all pervasive. In distributing your mercy, you are equal to everyone. And the dissensions between living entities are due to social intercourse. That's also very interesting. Verse. Of course, Krishna says, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu, Name Dvaishtasya Napriya. I'm equal to everyone. I don't envy anyone. I don't hate anyone. Dvaisha in Sanskrit, envy and hate, the same word. You're equal to everyone. Then she says, the dissensions between living entities are due to social intercourse. Like, sometimes in the forest, fires start because just by the wind, the wood is banging into each other and then make a spark in a very dry, dry time. So like that, you put people together and things will happen, unless, you know, people have very high consciousness. So that's why the humans, even a few people, if they're all just totally self-centered, it'll be overpopulated. You know, they'll be fighting with each other all the time. But if you have many, many people who are God-centered, then they can all live together. And, you know, that doesn't seem like overpopulated. Although it is overpopulated, but somehow or other these cities, you know, everything goes along because people are somehow, like in Tokyo, is more crowded than Singapore, but they're forced, you know, they just have to get along. But it's miserable life. So social intercourse. You know, you put a lot of people together, and if they're not directed properly, not in good consciousness, then they'll just be quarrels. And I just read Satsarupa Goswami. Somebody came to visit him from New York City, and there's a part of New York City called Queens. And in Queens there's a lot of Caribbeans, but they're Indian descent. So somebody made a temple there. Now there's four temples because they're all quarreling all the time.
In the temple?
Huh?
In the temple?
Yeah, well then they break off. Somebody doesn't like, you know, like here we have a few like that. one of them writes letters every year or so to the GBC, you know, how he's, somebody's so bad and I'm trying to do my preaching. So in one sense that's bad, but sometimes Krishna does that to get more temples started. Chaupati temple started. So, yeah. But then it can turn out good if the consciousness. And even in America, you know, devotees would be complaining about this or that. So I'll say, you go to some city and make a temple. And they did. So then a lot of temples got started. But then it should be that won't, there's no, that's not sustainable. The consciousness has to come up. That there's many temples and, you know, if someone's in my temple, but then they decide to go to the other temple, you say, yeah, okay, learn that. Mm-hmm. Not like, no, don't go there. Or that. No, like that little movie I showed the other day. No, come me, you know, and then you don't get anybody. Because people see what these people are, they're not following their books. So, but if everybody is encouraging, like, there's so many churches. But they don't go to a different church and say, you should come to my church. They just make new people. They get out and they go to people. And that's what we have to do. Then we should have many, many, if it's not a temple, but, you know, some kind of center, some kind of place, you know, where we have regular programs. Because it's, even Singapore, you know, it's not a very big city, but still, if you live in Yishun and the temple is in Little India,
different.
Very difficult for the mother with two kids to ever come to the temple, right? 2 or 3 hours traveling, and then somebody has to take care of the kids. So you need.
Nearby.
We're lucky here because we have all these Hindu temples, and when we make good relations, we can use them. Then it says, no one can understand your transcendental pastimes, which appear to be human, are so misleading. You have no specific object of favor, nor do you have any object of envy. People only imagine that you're partial. So that's the same thing as the Moham Sarvabhuteshu. But Krishna says, like, Chatur Vidha Abhijanti Maham Yejana Parikasate, that the four kinds of people come to me, and then Tesham, I forget, but he says that they're all good, but the best one is the one who's devoted. That's a special favor. So he's not partial. He's just reciprocating. The person who's loving Krishna, he loves him back. And the person who wants to fight with, he fights with him. The person who wants money, he gives him money. You know, you get what you want. So he's not really partial. Someone may think it looks like he's partial. The atheist, if they say they don't know karma, people, so they think that God just, you know, like you know, on a computer you can have your avatar and you can create
in the game
games. So they think God made this person rich and beautiful, God made this one sick, you know, what kind of God is that, just to see, you know, just to play games. But no, His law is arranged, but only according to our desires, and get all these different conditions. So he's not partial at all. He's completely equal to everyone, giving them what they want. But, you know, many people don't want to admit that they wanted. No, I never did anything wrong. So we don't know. Karma. And even modern people, they'll think people that think like that, oh, God's will or something, that's karma. Sometimes a person is in prison for a long time, and then they find out he didn't do that particular crime. And then it got to the point where they're afraid to convict people because maybe they'll find out later. But if someone had to spend 20 years in prison, in the past life they must have done something. And they got away with it. So, but it'll always catch up to them. You can't shake your karma, just like you can't get rid of your shadow.
Yeah.
That's an example. I like that picture of the ducks, you know. They follow their mother.
Huh.
You know. The duck, the chicken, they follow perfectly. She goes in the water, they go in the water. They don't deviate. So that, like that, your karma follows. So we may get away with something in this life because of something we did good in the previous life. But then that wears off, and then the bad karma comes in the next life, or even more. There's different explanations. Like, I can't remember the details, but Dhritarashtra or something too. Something he did many.
He killed 100 eggs or so. 100 kids of birds.
Yeah.
And then then his 100 sons had to be killed. But he didn't have enough Sukriti to have 100 sons. So he took 100 lifetimes to get enough Sukriti to have 100 sons. And then all of them were killed.
Who was this?
Dhritarashtra. Some 101 Bhagavad Gita, he was a king. So by mistake or something, he had killed 100 kids, you know, on X or something like that. So he didn't have Sukriti to have enough sons. 100 lifetimes he took to get enough Sukriti to get 100 sons. And then all of them killed together in the 100 answers.
So the things come from far back, you know.
This was 100 lifetimes.
But now people can't even understand, like, I was with one. When I'm in L.A., one boy that I knew in high school, and he always comes to see me. We have hated Govindas, and, you know, I said my digestion is because I ate so bad as a child. So that was so long ago. We can't even understand how something we did in this life is affecting us 10 years later. What to speak of previous life? Everybody's looking for the immediate cause of everything, but there's many remote causes. Like one devotee in Bali, he just came to Singapore because he's feeling very ill all the time. They have better, you know, hospital here, so he got fully tested. He was, you know, he got in so much anxiety, maybe my kidneys ruined my liver. And then he came back and he said, well, they said just the lungs, because 18 years ago he had bronchitis or something that never completely, you know, so it's coming back on him, you know, 18 years ago. Sometimes it's 18 lifetimes ago. This is another good one, giving everything. Janma karma chame vishvan.
Janma karma chame vishvan.
Ajasya kartur atmanaha.
Ajasya kartur atmanaha.
Tiryan nishishu yadashu.
Tiryan nishishu yadashu.
Tad adyanta vidambanam.
Tad adyanta vidambanam.
You know what vidambanam means?
Vidambanam.
Adyanta means veritable, and vidambanam means bewildering. It is bewildering that you work, though you are inactive, and you take birth, though you are the vital force, and you descend amongst animals. Sage is an aquatic, that is bewildering. So everything about Krishna is bewildering. He doesn't have to work, he doesn't really do anything, but he works. Takes birth, but he's aja, he's unborn. He doesn't really take birth, but we celebrate, we call it Krishna's birthday. It's his appearance day. Because he's actually everywhere. He's unborn, aja. Ajo-nitya, and the soul is also aja, unborn. Sometimes we see in the material world something to remind us of Krishna. There was a cigarette ad in Bali. Enjoy aja.
Enjoy aja?
It said, enjoy aja.
Aja,
aja in their language means enjoy.
Oh.
But aja means Krishna, so enjoy Krishna.
Actually, in the Sahasranam, on the Vishnu Sahasranam Maharaj, Aja is a name.
Yeah, it's the name of Krishna, unborn. It's also the name of Brahma, it's the name of the soul, but it's ultimately Krishna. Then she talks about Damodara Leela, and how, you know, Krishna, that's also bewildering, how he's sphere personified, but she's afraid of him. Then she explains how different people idea why Krishna came. And they're all correct. Born to glorify the pious kings, born to please others, say King Yadu. Different people say different reasons. Others say that since Vasudeva and Devaki prayed for you, you took birth as their son. You are unborn, but you took birth for their welfare, and to kill those who are envious of the demigods. Others say that the world was overburdened like a boat at sea, and that Brahma prayed for you, so you appeared to diminish the trouble. Too many demons, like an overloaded boat. Right? You know, then an overloaded car. And then if one person on the boat moves, tip over, because it's overloaded. So they have limits. Like here, if you have a Toyota Hiace van, you can only have like 9 people in a heavy law. But after they're finished here, they take them to Nigeria. Mm-hmm. And then here you have 3 seats with 3 people. They put 4 seats, and 4 people sit in each seat.
In each seat?
Yeah. And they're bigger people, but they just crammed in there. And they drive it for 20 years more. But here they say you can't, it's unsafe, you can't use it after 10 years. If you put more than that many people, there's different laws of nature in different places. Then, others say you appear to rejuvenate the devotional service of hearing, chanting, and remembering, worshipping, so that the conditioned soul's suffering might take advantage and gain liberation. So, that's getting to be a higher reason. But all those reasons are true. There's no, but whatever Krishna does, he does one thing but is accomplishing many things at the same time. So we agree with that. To rejuvenate devotional service. So the Bhagavad Gita is really bhakti. Although some people don't catch that, but definitely what it's all about. Then Shinganti Gayanti Grinanti Bhikshana Smaranti Nandanti Rehitan Janaha Te Eva Pasyant Yacharena Tabakam Baba Prabah Vuho Paramam Padambujam. Those who continue to hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activity, or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repeated birth and death. So that's also interesting. Constantly hear, chant, and repeat, or take pleasure in others doing so. Now we have a lot of facility to, you know, hear all the time. I know one devotee, he was working as an accountant or something, and he said all day he just listened to Prabhupada and did the work, had the earphones on. So it gives us good facility with all the, you know, in the car, no matter where you are, you can play kirtan or class. But even appreciating others, like we said yesterday, if somebody, if for some reason we can't do anything, and Krishna gives that in chapter 12, like, the best thing is to give everything up for Krishna. But if you can't do that, then just practice, you know, sadhaka. If you can't do that, then give some donation. And if you can't give a donation to Krishna, then at least do some kind of charity, you know, and down the line. Because that will all help us to get up to the main point. So for our own life, we have to see where we fit in. And also in preaching, we have to see where people are and then guide them to a gauge according to what they can do. You can't say you have to give up everything, you have to chant 16 rounds right now, and otherwise you're going to hell, and it doesn't work, you know. Some people are done. once, like in the early days of Prabhupada's time, it could be like that, because Krishna had made special arrangements to get the movement started. But when you're preaching broadly, you have to be very sensitive. And many people couldn't stick it out like that either. Jumped up and they couldn't stick it out. Krishna gives all guidance. So now you're leaving and we're completely dependent on your mercy. Now who's going to protect us? Kunti's crying. And only because of Krishna's presence, everything is flourishing in their kingdom. So the name, fame of a particular body is finished with the disappearance of that spirit. If you don't look upon us, all our fame and activities, the Pandavas and the other ones, will be over all at once. So Krishna just, so she's talking like he's going to be really gone. And she says, everything looks nice because our kingdom is marked with Krishna's lotus feet. But when Krishna leaves, so this, that's how devotees feel, like, well, when Krishna's gone, then there's nothing. Ingayitam nameshena chakshusa pravishayanam sunyayitam vidatam govinda nirahinam. And then she has to sever my tie of affection for the kinsman. So even though her family is all great intimate devotees of Krishna, she doesn't want to be attached. She wants to be attached only to Krishna. Tvayame nanya vishaya matir madhu pate sakrit ratim udvaha tad ada gange vodam udanvati. You know that one? Let my attraction be constantly drawn to you without being diverted to anyone else, just like the Ganges flows to the sea without hindrance. Right? No matter how, what kind of dams they make, it gets there. Right? Either they, sometimes they open the dam, sometimes it just breaks the dam, goes over the dam, but they can't stop it from getting to the sea. Although they've practically stopped the Jamuna, but it goes somewhere else. But it doesn't get to Vrindavan anymore. That's another. So then she glorifies Krishna again, and, you know, she makes everything nice. So that's the end of Kunti's prayer. And then Krishna leaves. Krishna accepted the prayers. He told everyone he's leaving. He went in the palace. But then Yudhisthira came and stopped him and begged him to stay longer. So he stayed. Stayed a little bit longer because of Yudhisthira's attachment and love. So that's Krishna, very personal. But these prayers are amazing prayers. And Prabhupada, like I said, he spoke so many times on this. Prayers of Queen Kunti. And the book is a Sankirtan devotees sell that book a lot, especially to women who are worried what's the position of women. That's a big issue. When I joined the movement and we would go to a school, at that time we'd go mostly in high school or something, the first question, how can you live without meat? Where do you get protein? You know, because the propaganda was so heavy that you can't live without meat. And then later on, I went to some schools and what's wrong with sex? Like people, the idea about meat had kind of gotten through to people. What's wrong with sex? Why are you against sex? I remember Vishnu John Swami, he said, well, there's a lot of diseases. They just, that was it. They didn't reply. Then, much later, I was in L.A. and they said, do you want to go to the university? I said, all right, it was a summer and it was an adult class. Like retired people, old people, mm-hmm. taking a class on religion. And the first question I spoke is, what's the position of women in this society? Old lady. Because the women feel so oppressed and put down. So I tried to explain that. But there I said, these people had no exposure, they never So I spoke like so basic knowledge, like Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, you know. I tried so hard to be the most possible basic I could possibly. And they were saying, where did you go to university? How did you learn so much? Where did you get this from? And it was like stuff that every villager knows.
But they never heard it. Although they have some idea, you know, everybody has some idea, but they never, Prabhupada just brought it all out, you know. And now more and more people, now, you know, Hindu preachers are running all over America and all over everywhere. They're building Hindu temples all over India, America. But they're not teaching very much. They're just, they build their Balaji temple, they bring the pujaris, and everybody comes and just buys a plate, and the pujari offers everything, and that's it. They don't have much education. And many people, they prefer that, they like that. And they don't reach out at all to anyone except for particular caste of Hindus. But ISKCON is reaching out to everybody. And our main thing is teaching knowledge. You know, we're always trying to get people Bhagavad Gita. We're always trying to have Bhagavad Gita class and good books. We're not just asking people to come and, you know, bow down, offer. I have seen Hindu temple in Hanoi. And one in Hanoi, the other city.
Ho Chi Minh.
Ho Chi Minh, maybe it was Hanoi. Anyway, yeah, the Hindu temple is Durga, and they call it the
Temple of the Black Lady or something. But they just come and they get a huge incense, you know, a big bundle. And then they just leave it. And they just keep cleaning it up and putting it out. China also, I went to a Buddhist temple on a festival day, and there was smoke everywhere. Everybody was really into it, you know, the big, huge bunch of incense. You know, they have a fire going, you just light it. And so that's good that they want to, they believe in something, they may be praying for something. But you know, a few people get more knowledge. Like, there's one Buddha incarnation, which is, you know, vowed he would never leave the material world till everyone else left first. And so some people worship that one. But mostly they don't know, they just know you can offer things. There's a Brahma deity in Thailand, in Bangkok. People come from all over, not so much from Thailand, but from all over Asia. And he's got some famous for fulfilling, satisfying material desires. So they get the big incense, and they get coconut, flowers. And then every 15 minutes, the garbage guy comes by and just sweeps everything in the garden. You know, all the offerings, the coconut, just dump it, dump the water out. The incense, they just put in a bucket of water. And then, but the people are, you know, there's no concept of prasadam. But they believe in something higher anyway, it's better, you know, it's like our Toji again. And Krishna says to worship other gods, but it's really meant for me, but they're doing it with the wrong way. So they're praying for material things, which is also not necessary. We have to
educate people.
We can get them to come and worship Krishna, but then they hear kirtan and they hear, they get books like in Mayapur, all our temples. You know, so many, they'll hear kirtan most of the time when they come. And at least they see the books. Devotees are everywhere, like in Vrindavan.
Now they have made the entrance path in front of the Gurukula, so the pathway is even longer. 3-4 devotees will find on the way, live with the book,
yeah.
Till Prabhupada Samadhi.
Yeah, and Bombay, you have to go out through the bookshop. You come in through the japa class first.
Yes.
And then you have to, then you see all the dioramas and the deities,
yeah.
And then you go out through the bookshop.
And then prasadam.
To get to the prasadam, you have to go through the bookshop.
Right.
Yeah, well, it's very good.
Yeah.
That That's how it should be. Of course, somebody that knows their way, they can go to the Prasadam. But most people want to go to the temple.
Yeah.
But to go to the temple, they have to go through quite a bit. And then there's always kirtan.
Yeah.
In the morning and in the afternoon. In Bombay, from 4 o'clock afternoon till 9 o'clock night, there's kirtan. So everybody comes in and they get a kirtan. But there's a bookshop and there's CDs. So this way we're trying to give people more than just, not just taking their money.
Mm.
You know, Om Sunya Om, you know, and whatever, what's your name, Om Sunya Om, and then throw some water, right? Buy a plate. We take advantage of their propensity to worship given Krishna. Okay, any question?
Pretty long.
You said one thing that Kundivan is that let this attachment to my family and relatives return to you. So, but for normal, for us, this attachment, so many things, how this can be turned suddenly? I mean,
well, she's praying for it.
What should we
do? Yeah. That I want to be attached to the goal is Krishna. So, pure devotee of the Lord is ashamed to ask anything in self-interest, but the householder is obliged to ask favors from the Lord, being bound by family affection. She was conscious of this, therefore she prayed to the Lord to cut off the affectionate tie to her own kinsmen. They're her members of her family. Krishna was even in the family. And they both needed the Lord's help. Wished Lord Krishna to remain with her sons, the Pandavas, but by his doing so, her paternal house would be bereft. All these partialities troubled her mind, therefore she desired to cut off the affectionate tie. So pure devotee cuts off the limited ties of affection for his family and widens his activities of devotional service for all forgotten souls. But you don't do that like all of a sudden.
But to be too much attached, you know, independently of Krishna, which can happen, you know, forget Krishna and the family, you know, if his family can help you to serve Krishna, we should. We have to keep the. So that's a delicate issue, actually. But the main, like I mentioned to one of you the other day, I went to the Christian church here, and the guy was preaching, and he said, "You love your family. That's good. You should love your family." And everybody was very happy. And he said, "But if you love your family more than you love Jesus, you're not a Christian." So, you know, that was pretty good, I thought. You're attached to your work. You want to get your education. That's good. But if you think that's more important than Jesus, then you're not a real Christian. So if we think that the family is more important than spiritual life, she didn't think that way, but in a humble mood, she's thinking, if you think that your work and your education and your savings account is more important than your spiritual life, then you're not going to make spiritual progress. You have to, the goal has to be Krishna. Whatever else we're doing, we have to understand that the most important thing is spiritual. Then the family benefits. Like Malati, Mataji Malati, she's one of the first devotees. She just wrote, "Pray for my brother, you know, he's going in the hospital for something." So the brother isn't a devotee, but she's concerned for him. And even like my mother she was a really nice mother when I was young, but then she got drinking a lot. And at the last few years, so sick and mentally disturbed. And my father, he died a long time ago, but my sister asked me, what do you think happened to Dad? He was so sinful. I said, well, because I'm a devotee, he got some benefit. She said, yeah, that's what she believed that. And she's not even a devotee. But she could understand that, that, you know, that Krishna helps people. So if the more you're a devotee, the more it helps your family. If you give up being a devotee to try to serve the family, it doesn't help anybody.
Yeah.
And some people do that. You know, they think of them, my mother would, but oh, if you were a Catholic priest, I'd have a lot of money. You know, which is true. That she knew that the Catholic priests are like the Buddhist monks in Japan. They find, you know, that the brother has a brand new Mercedes and his parents have a big mansion and, you know, that's he getting so many donations at the temple. They know there's so much corruption. But we don't, you know, we understand it. And like my father, he was very inimical towards Krishna. The last time I talked to him, I thought, well, the only thing I can do is try to be a good devotee. I can't help him any other way. You know, I can't, like, quit being a devotee, and I wouldn't make him, and besides his sickness was incurable, and there's nothing I could have done about anything, you know. But by being a devotee, he benefits. That's, I think that's what she means. So Gange Vodam Idambati, let, just like the Ganga keeps flowing no matter what else is there. So no matter what else we have to do, the duties in life, we have to understand that we're on the way to Krishna. We, you know, that, it's not the goal to, you know, like leave a big inheritance for your children, like some people think. Everything is all right. My father bragged to me when I remember, I have so much insurance, everything is taken care of. And he did. And then later my mother was crying after he died, and I said, what happened to all that insurance? And had to spend it all on doctors before he died. He had to keep cashing in all this insurance and spend it for doctors, and it's all gone. So those kind of arrangements are not guaranteed. Some people get it, you know, by their karma. Some people don't get anything. Sometimes the insurance company goes bankrupt. People have big, big insurance, and then the insurance company goes bankrupt, and it's, they don't get anything. So that we have to keep in mind that the primary affection is Krishna. And say you have children, so you should love your children, otherwise, you know, it's horrible. But you should love Krishna more because he gave you the children. And he gave you the family, he gave you the intelligence to have a degree and to be able to work and all that. So Krishna should be what we love more than all those others. Not that we don't love. If you love Krishna, you're supposed to love everyone. Not that, no, I hate everything except Krishna. That won't please Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Kunti Devi ki jai. Gaur Premanani Hari. Why don't they? Hare Krishna.